today. But there's some thoughts I want each and every one of you to think about. You know, we're living in a day and a time when people no longer think that the Bible necessarily applies, or that it is a very much benefit. But, you know, before it can do us any good or be of any benefit to us, we've got to believe it. And, you know, if a man has a parachute, but he don't have any faith in it, and he's in a plane going down, and he refuses to trust that chute, he's going to end up in a mess when that plane hits the ground, ain't he? Well, me and you, if we don't believe in the Word of God, God prepared a way for man to escape the destruction that's ahead. And it's much better than any parachute that a man's putting his faith in. Because when you jump out of a plane, you may have folded that chute and done everything just perfect, but there's always that chance it can tangle. That's why they all have a reserve. In case that first one don't open, they've got another one that they're as a backup that they're putting some faith in. Me and you, when we jump into the arms of God, we don't need any backup. That's it. And I thank God that He's able to deliver man if we'll put our faith and trust in Him. The sad part about it, people today, they want to say they believe God, say that they're going to heaven, but they don't do all of the things that the Bible says for me and you to do, to be obedient unto God and to have heaven as our goal when this life is over. And if we do, Christ made it possible we could be with Him. But if we refuse to listen unto the words of the Lord and abide by them, He also said where we would be going. All right, if you'd like to read with us, Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And if you'll turn over to Revelations 22, and we're going to read 20 and 21, the very last two verses in the Bible. He which testifies these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Now, here in this, I realize that you'll find a lot of people that says that they're a Christian and they don't want to accept the creation story the way that the Bible gives it. They act like, well, you know, if it took 6 million years or whatever, then that's okay. But, you know, that's not really creation then. We're falling back into that a form of evolution if it took 6,000 years or 6 million years or whatever. But God, when He spoke it into existence, He said, and He told what He done each day. And you and I, we must believe the Word of God. And I believe the creation story of Genesis. And when you begin to read that, in faith, believing what it's saying, oh, how beautiful it is. And as you look at the handiwork of God here on this earth, and all the things, you know, the question that so many people, they can't understand, which come first, that oak or the seed? Well, you know, it's a very simple thing to know that God created it in a full-grown tree. But yet, man, he can't comprehend that because today it takes a seed for an oak to grow. And because they can't comprehend that, they're willing to go back and believe that it all started from an accident and all the different varieties of plant life and everything. It all was an accident. instead of believing in the power of God and His wonderful handiwork of creating. And then you sit under the shade of a tree, just look up at it and say, oh, what a mighty God we have to figure out all of the growth of a tree. I don't know how many rings He put in the first tree, and He spoke them into existence. But they were full grown, already seed producing. Why? Before God gave them a job to do, and they were doing exactly what He said. And you and I, if we can believe these things, then we can find great pleasure and comfort in the Word of God in knowing every bit of it's true. And me and you are included in the promises that God made. You'll find there in the Bible where it talks about the flood of Noah's day. You know, scientists will tell you that was just a little local flood. It wasn't something that big. But yet we know where the remains of the ark is. And we know that it was really something that happened. Well, me and you today, we can look and we can take scientists, what they say about it, and they say, oh, it was just a local flood, or it was this, or it was that. But you can go on the top of the highest mountains on earth, and you can find replay of what was seawater, what was life from the sea. How did it get way up there? If because the Word of God was exactly what God said that it would. And even the top of the highest mountain, they were covered. Why? Because God didn't want man to climb to the highest one and be able to survive. But He destroyed all but those that was in the ark. And you and I, when we begin to believe these things, we can see what a wonderful God we have. He didn't put Noah out there to try and chase down all the different varieties of life. When it comes to time, God brought them right there. You and I, you think of it. What a God it took to give a man the design of what to build that would withstand what was ahead. And, you know, I can remember reading a story about a man when he went to design a battleship for the Second World War. They was going to design this battleship. And he wanted it to be the most seaworthy of any ship. And he studied the dimensions of the ark. And he built a replica like that of a ship with those dimensions. And it said that ship was able to take a wave from the side or from either end and right itself. And God told Noah what to build because He knew that it was going to be hid by wave from all directions. Unlike our ship today that has a power plant in the back of to drive them across the force of any captain of a ship when he goes into a storm, no matter where he was headed, first of all he'll turn right straight into that storm. Why that ship will ride it better if it faces the end of the wind, and it'll ride the wind after the storm passes, then he'll be concerned about getting to his destiny. But first of all, what God would place in man as a life force that He was going to populate the earth with. He would put them in a vessel that the man had no means to steer. He didn't know which way the waves were going to be coming. So God gave him a design that would withstand in the butter how it will attack her. You and I, and the wonderful to know that same God, and we we put our faith and trust in God and we believe His Word. But if we don't, we're left to our own devices. And I can tell you right now, that's not going to survive very much of a storm. You know, I can remember my dad talking about the Titanic and the boast and everything that was made when they built that ship. They was building a ship that was unsinkable. And why? It had bulkheads all through that ship that they could, if something happened in one compartment, they could seal it off and it would still float and be all right. And because they was wanting to set a new crossing the Atlantic record, they were traveling at full speed. And this a steel ship. And God placed ice there in the water that ripped that ship open like it was a tin can. Sank so quick. Man said, I've built something that cannot sink. God showed him on a maiden voyage. He put it to the bottom of the ocean. You and I put our faith and trust in man. And no matter what he promises, it will always fail. God's promises have never failed. They're still true. But first of all, we must believe them and accept them. Not as being a way, not as being maybe possible, but as being the way, the only way, from this life unto heaven. We must abide by what God said. And you know, there in the Bible, you'll find as God began to speak to Abraham, or Abram at that time, He began to speak to him. And God made some promises to him, and He told him He was going to have a child when he was old. He was almost 100 years old. There ain't no man on the face of the earth that has a wife that's around 90 that you could convince that he's going to have a child. But God told Abraham, and he believed it. You and I, God has asked nothing of us that looks that impossible, is it? So why can't we take these signs and these things and know that God is able to do exactly what He said? I believe just what it said about Abraham and Sarah. And you'll find that the promise that God gave unto him, it's come all the way down through, and it was fulfilled the way that God said. Why? Because all those that's believed and are looking still for that city to come, God said one day you're going to see it. You're not only going to see it afar off, but you're going to be able to walk upon streets of pure gold. Isn't it wonderful to know that man treasures here so highly? God said one day you can walk upon it as pure gold. Each and every one of us, you know, there's a few times in life you'll step on things here that are something special. As we went out to California here just a couple of weeks or so ago, we stopped in at the Reagan Library, and I went through what was Air Force One when Reagan was president. Walked from the front of it all the way to the back and seen all of the little offices and things that was there. And you know, a lot of people, that's important to them to walk on that floor and think, I'm walking where a president has walked and stood. But that president's dead and gone. He's buried right there at the library. Christ, He said, I've come to make a way that you can come and walk where I am. You can walk upon streets of gold where I walk. You can sit down with me at my throne. You and I, that's something that's more special than anything that we could ever step on here on the face of this earth. You and I, we might treasure a thing that we get here that holds some meaning of history, but that is a little world. Why is all going to be destroyed? But you and I, we can take hold of the Word of God and the book that we hold. It might be decayed and rot and burn one day, but the Word that's on the God said, I am will be recorded on high. There's something that's never going to be done away with. They're going to stand for all of eternity. And you and I, we can put our faith and trust in and believe that the Word of God is true, or we can listen to the lies of man and try and find us another way and be sadly disappointed when our life comes to an end. You know, there's a lot of things man can believe. There's a lot of things man can do here in this life that can make a difference for a little while. But you know, really, when we get right down to it, the only thing that are important in our life is the decisions that we make that affects the way that we will be when we die. And, you know, I've heard the old saying, if it isn't good enough to die by, it's not good enough. Me and you today, if we're not living a Christian life to where it's acceptable unto God, it's not good enough to die by. And each and every one of us, we need to look at these things that's in the Bible and decide, do we really want to believe it? You know, Moses, there is, he was out on the hillside seeing the burning bush and couldn't figure out why isn't it being consumed. So when he gets close to it, the voice spoken to him and said, take off your shoes, for this is holy ground. Moses began to find out God had a plan for him, but he had to be obedient. You and I, God's got a plan for our life if we'll only listen. I believe everything that it talked about in the miracles and the things that Moses did. There, when he come before Pharaoh, you know, Pharaoh didn't want to believe. He didn't want to accept. You'll find where Moses had Aaron lay down his rod and it become a snake. The magicians there in Egypt, they done the same thing. They laid down their rods and they became snakes. But Aaron consumed them. When they walked out of there, Aaron still had a rod, the others didn't. You and I today, it makes no difference what the devil tries to do, what kind of miracles he tries to perform. They fall short of what God has already done. And isn't it wonderful to know Moses there when he was in the wilderness and he was obedient unto God and prayed no matter what it was they needed, whether it was water, whether it was food, whether it was meat, whatever it was, God was able to perform it, and I believe that. Why? Because the Word of God said it. And God has proven that it's true. And each and every one of us, when we look at these things, we can say, well, you know, the times were different. But if it comes to it today, in our life, that same God that was able to supply there for all that multitude in the wilderness is able to supply for me and you. Because in the New Testament, I read where Christ took just a few fish and a couple of loaves of bread and fed thousands. Me and you today, God can take, if necessary, a bird egg and satisfy 100 people if it was needed. God is still able to supply our needs. But first of all, we must believe the Word. and accept it as being true. You'll find Christ, I honestly believe, that Christ was born of a virgin. And, you know, man, today, even some of the translations where it said virgin, they say young woman. There's a lot of difference. But Christ was born exactly how God said. And, you know, I've often thought what it would have been like to be on the hill there, those shepherds, heard the angels singing and telling them the good news that Christ was born. Oh, what a glorious time that must have been. What it would be like to there on a night to hear the angel begin to sing. But God has promised something better for me and you. There they just come for a little while under the hill and they live. But God said, you can come and you can see. Well, the angel has sung for a thousand a year. You can come and stand in that place. You can sing before me. And I want it much better than anything that man has ever heard here on this earth. You know, I love to hear a good group with harmony sing. What's it going to be like when you hear perfect harmony in multiplied millions singing? That's going to be something beautiful to listen to, isn't it? And then you realize, I'm one of them. That's a whole lot. But first of all, we must believe that Christ come, born of a virgin, lived and done exactly what the Bible said, and died for me and you, but didn't stay dead. Rose again, and now sits on the right hand of the Father, that all the promises that God made can come true. You know, if Christ had not arose, the promises that God had been making, that would have been the end of them, wouldn't it? But Christ not only was willing to die, but he also had the power, he said, to take it up again, his life. And then when he went away, it said, there's coming a time you'll see me coming in like manner. The world is not expecting it. As I was listening to a song this morning, they was talking about the rapture of the church and how people, a woman was wondering where her husband had went, and people wondering where this one had went and that one had went. You and I, that's not the way it's going to be. When the church leaves, the world's going to know they're gone. They're going to know where they're gone. And that's why the Bible says they'll run to the rocks and the mountains and they'll cry to them to fall on to hide them from the face of God. You and I, it's a wonderful thing to come before God if your heart's right with Him. But it's a terrible thing if it's not. God has made the promise, and here in this 20th verse, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. That was a long time ago that John wrote that. But if your heart's right with God, you ought to be able to say that very same thing. Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. And if we believe these things, then we can know that God is coming back after those that have been redeemed and had their robes washed white in the blood of the Lamb and is looking for the coming of the Lord. You know, as we look around at the shape our world's in today, you don't have to imagine what more's got to happen for the Lord to come back. You've got to wonder, what's keeping Him? Why hasn't He already come? And truly today, the world is in such a shape that God could come at any time. man, he said, unless he cut the last day short, there'd be no flesh saved. You and I don't know what God is waiting for, but I believe he's coming. My job is to be ready at that time. Whether it's the death angel calls me, or whether it's the Lord comes back after me, I'm to be ready. He said, for you know not the hour. Each and every one of us, if we believe these words and things in the Bible, let's start showing forth what our faith is by the life that we live. You know, Noah there, he believed God. It had never rained. Noah believed God that it was going to rain. And, you know, it would have been one thing if God told Noah, next week it's going to rain. He knew it was going to take Noah a while to build what he needed to build. But he told Noah. Noah went to work. And people, no doubt, laughed, made fun of this old man and saying, it's going to rain. I'm building this out here in the middle of dry land, but it's going to rain. And they did not see it rain until after the door was closed. You know, if God had started raining a week ahead of time, Noah might have had a crowded boat. But because it didn't start to rain till the door was shut. That's why there wasn't no people there trying to get in beforehand. You and I today, if God would just let man have a taste of what's going to be here after the church is gone, the churches would be full today of people wanting to be right with God. But they don't see that. They don't believe it will really come to pass that way. Just like those didn't believe it was going to rain. You and I, as I was talking to the children yesterday there at the house, it was one of as beautiful rainbows as I've seen in a long time, and it was a complete rainbow and real bright. And they were just marveling at it. And I asked Levi, I said, when you see that, what do you think of? And he didn't know what he was supposed to answer. And I began to tell him the story of why that the rainbow was there. You know, most people, they look at the rainbow and they don't think it's fulfilling a promise of God. And it's showing that he remembers what he said. You and I today, man might do everything they can to camouflage the word and the promises of God, but they're still there and they're still true. If we want to reach out and take hold of them. While we get some verse of a song to sing. If you really believe that Jesus is coming back, if you really believe and you want to know him for yourself, that's something you're going to have to do. You're going to have to repent, get on your knees and pray, because after all, it's an individual thing between you and God. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And that was the start for man. And he also said there's coming a time when he's going to burn up the earth and the fullness thereof. You and I, he prepared a place for us to be with him at that time. And if we don't accept it when we stand before him, we will have no excuse we can give that will be accepted. The blood of salvation is the only thing. And Christ was the one that shed that for you. While we sing, will you come?
Standing on the promises of Christ, I need through eternal age, Christ's place has been. Glory in my eyes, thou shalt see. Standing on the promises of God.
Will you come?